Okay, our conclusion of last week was spank. Under these conditions. Under what conditions? When should you spank? Okay, defiance. Any other reason to ever spank? Safety. Okay? That's a good reason. In both cases, I would say not necessarily hard and fast rules, but we'll talk a little bit more about that this week. Spanking is not by definition child abuse. Spanking can very easily become child abuse. You need to do it very carefully. Do it with a right spirit. Okay? Methods of discipline. We're going to talk about negative and positive reinforcement. I want to make sure that you don't walk away from here thinking that the only thing that you can do to discipline children is spank them, because there are lots of things that you can do to discipline children. Many, many ways that you can torture children. And I wouldn't want you to not know them all. Okay? Spanking, corporal punishment. Give me some more. What else can you do? Grounding. Okay, time out, losing privileges. Not talking to them. It's true, and believe it or not, that particular form of discipline is a very effective one with my son Ryan. Because you all know very well, there's nothing Ryan likes less than not being talked to. Let me show you my list. You notice my daughter. Okay? Verbal reprimand. And this is not necessarily just yelling at the child. Okay? Also, saying no to a child, depending upon the child, can be a very strong form of discipline. Consequencing. Okay, that's a horrible thing to say until I explain it, but I will explain it. Modern psychology has come up with a new verb. And the reason they've come up with this new verb is because they don't like any of the existing ones that we have. Spanking and punishment and things like that. Consequence is now officially, according to modern psychology, a verb. To consequence someone is to give them a commensurate consequence for their action. Okay? Now, what does that mean? That means if you break your toy, you don't have the toy anymore. It's a consequence. Okay? If you jump off the roof, you're hurt. It's a consequence. Okay? Those are kind of extreme scenarios, but that's the idea behind modern psychology, is that you teach them not to do things by delivering a natural or a consequence that flows from the thing that they've done. Tying the behavior and the response together in the form of a consequence. So, of course, then you can't call it punishment because punishment's a bad word. You can't call it discipline because discipline's a bad word. So let's call it consequencing. So modern psychologists have now defined this term as consequencing. Guilt. Now, this tends to be an ethnic form of discipline. Absolutely true. But guilting a child into doing something is effective. It is. It is. If you loved me, you would. I have stars by three things up there. Why are those there? Okay, they are actually the most commonly used. It's not why I put the stars there. They come with complications. Very good. Spanking, verbal, and guilt, conscience, discipline, must be used extremely carefully. Extremely carefully. Those are the ones that are the easiest to turn to abuse. Okay? Verbal abuse, physical abuse, and emotional abuse. Those three are the ones that are easiest to turn to abuse and the easiest to cause harm with. They are also typically the most effective. Okay? It follows naturally, right? It's a natural consequence. The thing that will affect the child's behavior the most is the thing which is most effective for discipline, is the thing which has the most potential to harm. Okay? So choose wisely. About positive reinforcement, right? It's not all spanking. Positive reinforcement. Give me some forms of positive reinforcement. Praise. Encouragement. Rewards. It's really not on. Channel 4.
Is it on there? Okay. If you clean up your room in the next half an hour, I will give you a popsicle.
Okay.
And obviously, if you don't, then you don't get the popsicle, but that's okay. Not it.
And we still have a box full of popsicles. Yes. Okay.
In saying exactly that if you don't, if you clean up your room, you'll get a popsicle, is it absolutely necessary that if they don't do it, you don't give them the popsicle? Obviously, that is true. But moreover, should that be the only thing that you do because that was the terms of agreement? Or should there be more punishment on top of not giving them a popsicle? Should it be just based on what you said?
Absolutely yes and absolutely no.
Okay.
This is the big thing that we're going to be thinking about here, is that discipline is a very child-specific, situation-specific, behavior-specific thing. Right? There isn't a set of rules that you say, okay, if this is what happens, then this is what you do, and this is the response, and turn this switch, and then the child will behave. Right? We all know that, because we don't have the behaving child, so we must not know the set of rules. But every child responds differently to things. If the end of the half hour, the room is not clean because the child spent 6 weeks getting it to that condition and they're not going to get it done in half an hour, but they tried really hard, you might still give them the popsicle. You might. If at the end of the half hour, the room is not clean because the child sat for half an hour, center of the floor, legs crossed, fists on their cheeks with a grunt on their face, saying, "No, I'm not cleaning my room," then not only don't they get the popsicle, but there is going to be additional discipline. Okay? So it is a situational thing. You need to understand the situation. You need to understand the child, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so reward and reward systems. Okay? Two different things, both very important. If you do this, you get a popsicle. Is a reward. If you make your bed every morning when you get up, you get a token. If you can hand me 10 tokens, you get a popsicle. That's a reward system. Okay? There's a difference between the two, because one encourages a specific instance of a behavior, and the other one encourages a pattern of a behavior. And you want to get to the point, there's no question at all, that you want to use specific rewards for specific tasks, especially if they are non-recurring tasks. Okay? But if you are trying to establish a pattern of a behavior, you need to think about a reward system. It's not just a thing that you want this child to do. You want this child every day to clean their room. You want this child every day to brush their teeth, walk the dog, whatever it may happen to be. You need to put a system in place to establish repeated patterns of behavior, and then that general repeated pattern of behavior is what provides the reward. We use with our children a system we call the GEM system. You've all seen those little round, flat glass things that they put in the bottom of fish tanks, right? Those are gems. The child's behavior can either gain or lose them gems. we set the value of a gem to about 10 cents, and they can buy things with their gems. So they can buy toys. Joy has a little gem store with things that we have purchased that we know the kids want, and they can go in from time to time and buy things from the gem store, or they can see something that they want in a catalog or a magazine or their Scholastic Book Club, and they can save up gems to buy that thing. Now, your best period of behavior with a child is when the child knows that they need 5 more gems to get the American Girl Stephanie doll. Okay? It's a very effective system. It is self-monitoring because they know they need to be good, maintain good behavior. They need to go above and beyond what is normal good behavior to get extra rewards. And they better not mess up, because then you're going backwards. But it has to work with the child. We have another child who couldn't care less about things. Absolutely couldn't care less about things. Ryan is our challenge. Disciplining Ryan is a challenge because he doesn't care. Ryan thrives on people and on companionship and on touch, and he doesn't care about anything. Toys, take him or leave him. Stuffed animals, take him or leave him. Make him sit alone in a corner, he's crushed. Okay? Know your child. Know what works for your child. But use not just rewards, but reward systems for positive reinforcement. Encouragement. Verbal support. Thank you. Good job. Okay? Again, this has as much power in many cases as anything you can do negatively. Encouraging a good job, remembering to thank a child, remembering to praise a child when they do a good job is very powerful. Touch. Okay? Again, this is the mirror opposite of the spank. Right? The good touch, the hug, the encouragement, the pat on the back, closeness, snuggling. Kids love it. They soak it up. Okay? Positive reinforcement. It's something that they desire. It's something that is a fantastic reward for positive behavior. So which one do you use? One size does not fit all. You cannot use the same discipline methods for your 15-year-old that you use for your 2-year-old. You can't. You can ground a 2-year-old until they are blue in the face, and you are not going to change their behavior. Okay? So you can't use the same methods. One size does not fit all. Comparability is important. What do I mean by that? Okay? Apply the same principle, but not in the same manner. The discipline that I use for Ryan, we've already talked about how he's different, is not the same discipline that I use for Janae, who does care about things a lot. Okay? Two different forms of discipline. But if they have the same misbehavior, I may send Ryan to his room and I may take a thing or a privilege away from Janae. They need to be equal in value, perceived value between the two children. Okay? You need to make sure that the discipline is comparable. Is it 15 minutes in Ryan's room or an hour in Ryan's room? Okay? Is it a toy from Janae, or is it a doll from Janae? There's level. And is it a permanent takeaway, or is it a temporary takeaway? These are things that you need to gauge, but you need to make sure that your discipline is consistent between your children. One size does not fit one. Okay? There is no one discipline technique that will solve all of your problems with any child. You need to use a range, overlapping range of discipline techniques to modify a child's behavior. You need to use positive reinforcement. You can't only use positive reinforcement. You need to use negative reinforcement. You can't only use negative reinforcement. You need to overlap your discipline techniques, have levels of severity, have levels of positive encouragement, and overlap them. You have to understand your child. This is what it comes down to. You have to know what works. Find the method that will shape the will without breaking the will. Strong-willed child, it takes a lot of method and a lot of shaping. And you're welcome to read Dobson's book on the subject, and there's a lot of information in it that is positive about identifying this. Yes?
I just want to add to the using the range. You also need to try when you can to make it clear, because if you know that certain behaviors respond, of that one child, I'm talking about a single child, if certain behaviors respond, they respond better to different forms of discipline for certain behaviors, then you need to make that consistent so they understand what's going on. Obviously, there are times that you're not going to be able to put one into a category, and they may not be able to expect what's coming, but at least they know they're expected something. For example, Jordan knows that if he drops his food on the floor, he gets his hand smacked. But he also knows that if he throws a temper tantrum, he gets put in his bed. And that's fairly standard, so he knows what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is also the opposite of the strong-willed child, the mild child. If you use the same discipline on a strong-willed child and a mild child, you will crush the spirit of the mild child. You cannot do that. You must understand your child and understand how they react. We have a mild child. This is very difficult because we also have a strong-willed child. And the strong-willed child, or two or three, yeah, I know. The strong-willed child is upset about the fact that our discipline of the mild child seems unfair, right? For the strong-willed child, three swats across the butt is the introductory level of displeasure, because that's the first thing that you have to do to reach them. That same introductory level for the mild child is saying no. That is comparable in level, in effect, between the two children. So you have to balance the impact on the child, but you also have to be aware of the fact that the strong-willed child will be challenged and upset about the fact that the discipline is not the same. You need to be aware of that. You need to talk to them about that. Okay? It helps, by the way, that the mild child, when you say no to the mild child, starts crying and runs to her room. It helps the strong-willed child to see that there's an impact. Okay? So how do you get there? Talking about three kinds of response. How do you get to the point that you apply the discipline? Three forms of response. We talked last week about safety, harm, direct defiance. This demands a critical response. When I say critical response, I mean a response right now. Okay? So does an extraordinary good behavior demands a response right now. Okay? Don't say to yourself, oh, that was nice. I'll get back to her later and give her a reward later. In the same way that you really want to strongly enforce that that behavior is bad with a direct response, you also want to strongly enforce that behavior is good. When a child on his or her own willingly volunteers to do something that you couldn't have conceived that they would have been willing to do if you had forced them, praise them effusively. Give them a reward. Say, hey, thanks for doing that, and because you're doing that, next Friday we'll do this. Okay? Critical response. A strong positive behavior requires a strong positive reinforcement. A strong negative behavior requires a strong negative reinforcement. Scheduled response. Okay? This is where 99% of your discipline falls into, is scheduled response. Somewhere between 90 and 99% should fall into. If it's not that high, if you're spending all of your time in critical response, then you need to work harder on your scheduled response to get there. Okay? This is where you set your child's expectations and behaviors. If you work on a scheduled response system, if your child begins to understand consistency, boundaries, rules, and discipline in your house, the critical responses will go down and down and down. That's the goal. The goal is to train your child in a pattern of behavior. Make that pattern of behavior consistent. Help them to understand where they fit, what the rules are, what are the boundaries. Yes, I believe them. Yes, I'm going to enforce them. Yes, they are consistent. And then you don't have this wild, crazy behavior. It will still happen from time to time, but the frequency will go way down, and your ability to have a major impact by responding to it will go up. If you're spanking your children six times a day, every day, because they're being deliberately defiant, you're not in control. They're in control. Okay? Now, 1-2-3 magic, I put up there because it's a system that we have used fairly effectively. It's a really hard system to maintain because you have to be consistent and you have to follow through. Don't make promises you can't keep. We'll be talking about this later. Okay? Don't make promises you can't keep. 1-2-3 magic is a very simple system to use. You're counting the child, right? 1, 2, 3. If they continue the behavior until they reach 3, there's a consequence. That's simple. Okay? What happens over time with this system and why this system breaks down is because parents don't want to reach 3. They don't. Nobody wants to have to discipline their child. And so what you do is you say, 1, 2, I'm telling you, you better stop or I'm going to say 3. Okay? You can't do that. You have to maintain consistency in your discipline. But that is the method. It's very simple. The child understands the behavior that they have to stop. You need to make sure the child understands the behavior they have to stop. And then you count. You say, you will stop sticking peas up your nose. 1. Yes.
There is a video that talks about this, but on the video they actually say that you don't always have to start at 1. You can start with 2. If you think it's going to take them too long to respond or they're not responding, Jordan is wonderful for this. He waits till 2 every time. You say 1 and he looks at you. And you say 2 and he starts to do what he's supposed to do. And he times it just about right so that by the time you're about to say 3, well, he often gets to 3 too, but by the time you get to 3, he's there. Coming to me is the big one with him, but I haven't really tried doing 2 on him yet because I think it'll throw him for a loop, but I think I need to start doing it. But yeah, you don't have to start with 1. If you think it needs to happen right now, you can say, that's 2. And then they know that they only get 1 warning. So.
And then you're in this really strange situation, which is the child is obeying you by the time you reach 3. But the child is also very deliberately waiting until it's just about the second that you're going to reach 3. Is that a problem? Do you need to change it up? And that's why you can do straight to 2. But you can also count faster, right? You can count slower. We went through a while, it just got to be too hard to keep track of, but we went through a while where we kept track of what level they were on, right? You're on 1. 10 minutes later, you're on 2. 10 minutes later, you've been behaving, so you're back to 1. All right, now you're back to 2 because you were already on 1. We're skipping 1. It's just too hard. It's got to be very simple to do in your head. It really has to be simple to keep track of. you can't hang on to something for that long. You either modify the behavior successfully or you didn't. If you didn't modify the behavior successfully, then impose discipline, impose consequence. Okay?
Just share real quickly, Dave. It didn't take long for Abby's. You can guess she's one of our strong-willed ones. I think it's the tweed jeans. I'm not sure. Can't be the Italian jeans. We're really passive on my side of the family. But anyway, it didn't take her long. We would go, Abigail, that's one. And she would go, two, three. And it was like, oh, she took us there already. So I just wanted to share that because it doesn't take long for them to catch on.
And unfortunately, she's taken you to the position where you have to discipline, right? She took you to three. And in some cases, that's a test, right? Oh, yeah? What if we go to three? What are you going to do about it? And you have to follow through. You have to. You can't let it slide. The same thing is true for chores, planned activities, anything that is scheduled, pattern specific. Okay? That's positive. It's the other half of the curve, but it's regular, it's repeatable, it's training. Okay? Discipline is learning. Discipline is training. Anything that you can establish as a boundary for their world that is a repeatable practice. As simple as, if you have a lifestyle that supports an 8 o'clock bedtime, that's a great thing for kids to know that 8 o'clock is bedtime. If 8 o'clock or 7:30 or 6:15, depending upon your kid, is their bedtime every night, you will get much less hassle at 8 o'clock. If, however, 10 o'clock can be their bedtime, or 8 o'clock or 6:30, and it's kind of all over the map, the child instinctively knows they now have the ability to modify the bedtime by their behavior, so you're going to have more trouble, right? And whether that trouble takes the form of, oh, no, wait, I didn't have the vacuum cleaner goodbye, and I didn't have the dog goodbye, and I didn't, okay? Our kids are kings and queens of the stall tactic. None better, okay? And those who've been to our house for Bible study on Friday evening know that our children don't start up those stairs until every last thing in that room has been hugged. Okay? So regular scheduling is a great way to modify behavior. Delayed responses. Okay? Loss of privileges. Delayed response. If your child consistently misbehaves, you cannot allow your child to do this on their own. You can't go ride your bike. Why can't you go ride your bike? Because you've been allowed to go ride your bike three times. Two out of those three times, you didn't come back when I called, which meant you weren't close enough to hear me. You break the rules. So guess what? You've lost this privilege. It's a consequence of your actions. It is a long-term consequence. And now, every time you ride the bike, you have to do it in the driveway with me sitting on the porch until I'm comfortable letting you try it with me inside the house. But you still got to stay in the driveway. And if I pop my head out and you're not in the driveway, then we go back to the previous situation. Okay? You need to build this level of understanding and trust. There are long-term consequences based on behavior patterns. And you guys know this. It's the same thing as the strong-willed and the mild child. You have children who are naturally compliant, and you have children who are naturally defiant, or at least naturally push the boundaries. Those children who naturally push the boundaries will have tighter boundaries. They have to, because they're going to hang out at wherever the edge of them is. You can't put them at the edge of safety, because they're going to be spending all their time at the edge of safety pushing outward. With the child who's compliant, you can put the boundaries at the edge of safety, and the child will gladly play around the inside of the circle. Okay? So long term, as you get to know your child, you develop boundaries. Both the loss of privileges based on negative consequences of behavior, and the flip side of that is long-term compliant behavior builds trust. And when you have that trust, you then can allow the child to go further beyond the normal bounds. Okay? Now let's talk about the principles of applying the discipline. No, let's not. For the first time in this class's history, I am actually going to stop at a quarter after 12. So, this is what we're going to be going into next week. Don't read too far ahead, but you're welcome to come back, those of you who are going to be able to come back. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for the blessing of family, both the church family and the family that you have provided us amongst ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would bless those here who seek to apply discipline, both applying discipline to themselves and applying discipline within their family. Lord, pray that you would give us wisdom in the choices that we make and help us to continually look to you for guidance in those choices. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Amen.